You know, Wayne talked last week about, started talking about being a disciple and what that means to be a disciple. And I want to continue along with that this morning. And my messages this morning, to me, this is what makes a disciple. Hear and do. You know, here is the information. You know, Wayne talked about, last year, he did several messages on information, application, transformation. And so for me to say, what is a disciple? It's they hear it, they get information, and then they don't just hear it. They're not just full of knowledge, but then they apply it. That's what makes the difference. You know, I believe a convert is just gets the information, but a disciple, they apply it. Okay? I believe a disciple actually believes what God says and applies it to his life.
Amen.
You know, Christians, converts, Christians, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know, they may, you know, apply things sometimes, we know, when it's convenient, or, you know, they may pick the things they like in the Bible and, you know, apply that, or, you know, put, you know, when things are going wrong, then they may turn to God and say, you know, well, God, you said this. But a disciple, it's a constant thing. It's a 24-hour day thing. You know, God is number one. You know, the word is first place in their lives. So we're going to talk this morning about hear and do, okay? And so first we want to look at James chapter 1, verse 22. And we're going to, you know, as we go through this morning, you're going to see, as the scriptures that I'm using, did not realize it until I was going over the notes and how many of them overlap. So it's the same message kind of over and over again. And I'm going to break it down into different points. But you'll see as you read these scriptures that they kind of just overlap. And this point is in this scripture. And then they'll, well, that point is in the other scripture. So pay attention to that as we go through this morning. So James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And that's what has happened to a lot of people in the church, a lot of Christians, is, you know, they're self-deceived. Because they've got all this information, you know, you can see, especially our kind of a church. You know, we have discovered that we are, what are we, dear? An educational church? Is that what they call us? An educational church, yeah. Wayne was reading in one of his books, I don't think he told you this, but it was describing these different churches, and so he was reading the educational church, and it was scary because it was us to a T. I didn't even know we were one type of church. And it was very, you know, and part of it was very convicting because we saw, you know, an educational church is good. It's good to teach the word, you know, because that's what an educational church is about, getting the word out. And that's very good. But the problem is what has happened too much in BFC, not just in BFC, but a lot of churches that are like us, is that we have a whole lot of information. You know, it used to be, you know, we'd talk about, you know, people getting fat, people just sitting in the, you know, in the pews or the chairs, and, you know, they're taking all this stuff in but not doing anything with it. Well, that's what it is. We've got a whole lot of information, but there's no application. If there's no application, you're not a disciple. And that's who we are. We are disciples. We are about making disciples. Why? Because that's what Jesus called us to do. We're called to be a disciple and then make disciples. Well, we can't make disciples until we learn how to be a disciple, right?
Amen.
So that's what our first focus is. That's what I'm going to start this year focusing on, is what it takes to be a disciple. What's being a disciple about? And every one of you are going to have to make this decision. Whether you're already a disciple or you're not a disciple, you know, you need to be honest with yourself and make that decision. And then on the second decision is, am I going to be a disciple? Or am I just going to keep living life the way it is and have my ups and downs, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. We have to make that choice. And it would be nice if it was just a one-time thing, but I have discovered that you have to make that decision on a continual basis. Because I can be a disciple today, but then, you know, a week from now, you know, well, this happened and this happened, and I slide away from being a disciple. Because I slide away, I may still have a bunch of information, but I slide away from applying it. And without application, you're not a disciple. Okay? Praise God. We want to look at this same portion of Scripture. I want to look at it in the Message Bible because it is so obviously pointed, I guess, for lack of a better word. But in starting verse 22 of first chapter of James, it says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like." And that, sadly, is what too much of what our Christian life has been. You know, because our, you know, life happens.
Amen.
You know how easy it is when you're having some kind of symptoms, you know, when you have some kind of sickness hit your body and you're in pain of some sort, how easy it is to just say, you know, I know that's what the word says, but I hurt too much, you know, to speak the word. You know, when I start feeling better, then I'll start speaking the word again. You know, when I start feeling better, then I'll start reading the Bible again. You know, I just feel too horrible to pray. You know, it's just, you know, I know this, you know, Jesus paid the price, but when I start feeling better, and we do that. I mean, I know I have done it, so I know every one of you have done the same thing.
Amen.
And so what happens is we slip back from being a disciple into that carnal Christian, you know, living by this is how it is, and so this is just how I'm going to live my life. You know, I know what the word says, but because it's been all information. Our hearts have not been changed by application, okay? So the first point we're going to make this morning is hear. Obviously, you can't do until you hear. If you don't, you know, you're not going to, they go together. Let me put it that way. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. We're going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Once again, familiar scriptures. I don't think I have any obscure scripture at all today. I've probably taught them all before. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, and in the Amplified, it says it is, once again, makes it so much clearer. And he said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that come back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear." So first of all, you know, we have to hear. If we don't ever hear the word, how are we going to apply the word? So, and today there's so many ways of hearing. That's one of the reasons why you're supposed to come to church.
Amen.
And not just come to church on Sunday mornings once a week, once a month, or, you know, whenever it's convenient, you know, not just on special occasions. That's why we need to be in church every week.
Amen.
And in my opinion, if there's a service more than once a week, you should be in it more than once a week. Because I don't believe a Sunday morning service is enough to get you, unless you're a person who is going to study the word on their own. And some people are like that, but they're few and far between. But if you're not trained, you know, you're not far enough along, you're not a disciple at that level, then you need to be in this, you know, some place during the week where the word is being talked about, discussed, taught. Because, you know, what's the scripture? Is it this one? No, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So it takes multiple times of hearing it before the information actually sinks in and thinks, oh, I should do something about that. Yeah, that's the Bible actually does say that. So when first of all is the hearing. We have to, you know, get the word in us. But it says here, be careful what you're hearing. Because what happens is most of what we're hearing is totally contrary to the word of God. You know, if you're on the internet, if you're watching TV, if you're reading books, if you're reading the newspaper, if you're listening to radio, you know, most of what we have heard during our lives is contrary to what the Word of God says.
Amen.
No, and this is one of those things that, you know, that is my, one of those pet peeves is I don't understand how so many Christians, you know, and how parents allow their kids to do this, but expose themselves to what they're seeing and hearing that is contrary to the word of God. And what they're seeing and hearing promotes sin. You know, what they're seeing and hearing promotes fear. I don't understand that concept of how I enjoy watching something that scares me. Or listening to something that scares me. Or reading something that scares me. What is wrong with us that we would enjoy that? Because it just doesn't go in one ear and out the other. How many times have you seen a scary movie? How many times have you thought about that scary movie and gotten scared all over again? If you're watching something and it's producing an emotion in there, what did we just talk about Thursday night?
Yeah.
When you have something that you hear or see and emotion goes along with it, well, then it's headed to your heart. And that's a belief. And what we have, we're believing things contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
So it says, be careful what you're hearing. You know, I think last time I taught this, I brought this up. You know, even Christian TV or Christian radio, you have to pay attention. Just because it's on that station doesn't mean it's what God's word says.
Amen.
And you can have the same minister have one message be phenomenal, and then the next message is something contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
So you have to be in the Word yourself. You have to know what the Word says for yourself. If you watch, you know, you listen to someone and something, well, that just doesn't sit right. Well, put it on a shelf. They may be right, you may be wrong, or you may be right, you know, you may have the Holy Spirit saying, you know, that's not right. But we need to pay attention to what we're hearing. It's very important. And then he says, the measure of thought and study you give to it. In other words, it's not just hearing the Word and saying, you know, like I said, just the Sunday morning message kind of thing. It's doing something more with it. If you want the Word of God to change your life, to transform you, then it takes more than just hearing it. It says the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. And that's what we're going to be talking more about this. You know, the meditation, the focus that you put on the Word that you hear, that's what's going to determine whether it actually has any effect on your life. But just hearing it, and I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. If you're not living it, then there's more work to be done. You know, we have more, you know, things that we have to do, more focus that we have to spend on. And he says, more besides will be given to you who hear. So in other words, we put effort into it, and then it starts multiplying back to us. And you think, you know, you're going along, and all of a sudden you get this thought like, wow, I don't know how I knew that, but somehow the Holy Spirit just started revealing more to me that goes along to confirm what I already knew. Amen. Praise God, hallelujah. But if we don't do anything with it, we lose it. There's other scripture that talks about, you know, is that principle, use it or lose it? That's true with the Word. Amen. If you don't use the Word, you lose it. And too many times, you know, people don't just lose the Word and stay in church. You know, when they lose the Word, they leave church. They leave, you know, the source of the only thing that can bring them out. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22, once again, very familiar scripture. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, starting verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them and health through all their flesh. What does he say? Give attention to my words. Pay attention to what the Word of God. This is Proverbs. So he's talking more about the law, but we apply this to the new covenant, the Word of God. He says, give attention to what the Word of God is saying. Incline your ear. Pay attention. Don't just have it go in one ear and out the other. Don't just sit here this morning and say, oh, yeah, yeah, she's teaching again. I know all this. You know, what am I going to do? Oh, I've got to do this afternoon. I've got to do that. If that's where you are this morning, then you will leave, you know, and you will not have changed at all. Amen. Your life will not improve at all because you have blocked God out. It's your choice. Incline your ear. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We're going to see as we go through these scriptures, you're going to see there's a combination of hearing, seeing, speaking, meditating, and doing. It's all tied. Like I said, they're all intertwined in these scriptures, okay? Because this is what happens. He says, their life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. You having problems with sickness? Well, how much of the Word are you applying? It's not how much you know. It's not how many scriptures you're speaking. It's how much you're applying. How much is actually in your heart? How much do you actually believe? Because what we believe determines what's going to happen in our lives. And what we're talking about here is how you go through this process, and that's going to be working, you know, changing our beliefs, being transformed. I get the information, I apply it, and then the power of God transforms me. But I have to do my part before God can do his part. Okay, the next one is think or meditate. First one we hear, and then obviously we heard something, so we start thinking about it. But thinking by itself, it needs to go farther, and so we're talking meditation here. And this definition of meditation, I've given you this before, it says when you think about, ponder, imagine, or consider any biblical promise until you have all the emotions of it being true at this moment. Have you ever done that? Have you meditated and thought about a scripture? Maybe someone was teaching and all of a sudden it hit you. I think Jess was saying the other night about all of a sudden, that's what that means. You know, and you get this excitement inside you and you think, wow, you know, that's so good. That's the difference between just the thought and the meditation. You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to spend time. You know, and spending time is not driving in the car thinking about it, which is great. You know, you're supposed to think about the Word all the time. It's not washing the dishes and thinking about it. It's not going through your job and thinking about it. It's actually sitting down, by yourself, alone, with just you and God, and going through the process of taking time to focus on this and then just thinking about it. And going through the process and experiencing it. You know, we don't meditate on the Word. We meditate in the Word. There's a difference. And so much of what we have done in the past is about on the Word. And it is one of the definitions of meditation is to mutter it, you know. But that's, I think, over the years, that's the only definition I ever heard about meditation, you know. So I just keep saying it over and over again, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I did that. And it works to a certain extent. But when you take the time to actually get before, you know, and it's you and God, and you focus, you know, you get look inside and focus inside, because that's where the transformation has to happen. And it actually, you start experiencing it, and you use your imagination, and you actually see this happening, what God has said. You know, Christ in me, that's my big one. You know, that's the first one I learned, and that's still, I go back to that one. Christ in me, and imagining Christ coming into me, and then me, you know, me going into Christ. And it just totally, you know, I have a manifestation of the anointing pretty much every time I do that. Because it's real to me. And that's what meditation produces, reality. It's not just something to do. Praise God. Well, okay, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I'm sure you've heard messages, if you've been in church very long, I know you've heard messages on this, because I know Wayne's taught about on this portion of scripture. But I just want you to notice a couple things. First of all, he says, this person is blessed. You know, if blessing isn't happening in your life, you know, what are you doing? Because the Word of God, it says we're supposed to be blessed. That's just what the word doesn't say, you know, you're blessed, but sometimes, you know, it's really bad. But no, I'm blessed. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm still blessed. Amen. I can still be full of joy and peace and love and everything, no matter what's going on. And it's just, life is totally different when I'm in peace and joy and even happiness. You know, the scripture talks about being happy. And things on the outside, you know, the exterior, the external, it's not about the external, it's about the internal. Amen. As the internal changes, then the external changes. Amen. But we've been just focusing on the external, and it just gets frustrating. Amen. But he says, don't go with the ungodly, the sinners, or the scornful. But in his law, once again, he meditates in the law, which is the law, we would say, the Bible, God's Word. And he says he does it day and night. You know, one of the things James Richard says is to do this, and I think anybody teaches on meditation may agree with this, but the best times to do it is first thing in the morning or last thing at night, because it works with your body to do it at those times. But if the only time you can meditate is in the middle of the afternoon, well, praise God, hallelujah, you can still do it. But if you can schedule so your time to meditation is first thing in the morning or last thing before you go to bed at night, those are very effective times. Okay, so what we see about this guy is he looks to the Word for the answers, not the world. He doesn't go to the outsiders. He doesn't go to the ungodly, you know, to the world. He doesn't go to the sinners. He doesn't go to the scornful. But he looks to God for the answers. He looks to God for the wisdom. And that's what's going to determine one way or the other what our lives are going to be like. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We were talking about this scripture on Thursday night in the Grace class. And was he talked about in the book that these think, you know, as he thinketh, the thoughts, one of the definitions of this is a doorkeeper. So in other words, what's in your, you know, what's already in our heart, what we've allowed in our heart is the doorkeeper for what else comes in. And he was using the example in the book about fear. If I have allowed, you know, if I have allowed fear into me, and so fear is in my heart, fear is part of my belief system, well, everything else that comes, if it does not, you know, if it does not agree with fear, then I shut it out. I don't allow it in. So how am I ever going to get the victory over fear when I don't allow it in so that I can be changed? And that's when it takes that meditation. It takes doing this on purpose. It takes, you know, putting off, you know, renewing my mind, putting on. It takes effort, you know, not religious works, but it takes effort to change my beliefs. It takes effort to get those things out of me that, you know, that are not, are ungodly, and to get into me what God has said. You know, what the word says, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But to just speak that when I'm in fear, you know, whatever it may be over. It can be also anything, you know. But when I'm in fear, you know, I have dealt with people in fear. And when someone is in fear, you cannot get through to them. Their focus is all on whatever they're afraid of, and you can't get through to them. You know, you can pray for them and, you know, lay hands on them, and I've done this, and that fear is just what they're, you know, you can't get through. So us as individuals, I have to work on me. You have to work on you. You know, I can't lay hands on you and change it and make all this stuff happen in your life. It's going to take your work,
Amen.
Your effort.
Amen.
And it's a process. You know, some things, big things can be broken just like that. Other things, it's a process. They're laying hands on you guys this morning. You know, the power of God went into you, but what are you going to do with it? Because it's not just about an experience. If you treat it, well, it's an experience, well, it's not going to last. But if you take a hold of that power that went in you this morning, and whatever started to happen, hang on to that. And do what we're talking about this morning, then you're going to have total transformation. You're not going to have to keep coming up for prayer for the same thing. Then things change. Praise God. You know, the signs and wonders and miracles are mostly for the people out there. Because you guys know how to get your own miracles. Praise God. Philippians 4:8. Another probably part of you could quote it, if you can remember all those words. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things.
Amen.
Once again, one of those scriptures we have in our head, but we don't do much with it. Because what do? We think about whatever we want to think about. We think about all the negative garbage that's going on in the world. We think about, you know, what's wrong with my body. We think about what's wrong with my spouse. We think about what's wrong with my kids. We think about all the negative stuff. That is where most of our thinking is going on.
Amen.
But the Word of God over and over again says, don't think on that. Think on this. Think on what God has said about us.
Amen.
And this is one of those battles. It's not always easy. When you're in the middle of a situation, it's not always easy to say, no, I'm not going there.
Amen.
What has God said? And sometimes, you know, it's almost painful to start saying, you know, start speaking. This is what God said. God said this. I know this is what it looks like, but no, God said this. But if we will do that, then we start focusing on what God has said, and then things start to change. It may not all change on the outside, but it will change on the inside.
Amen.
If you're worrying about your kids, especially your adult children, let me tell you right now, you have no control over them.
No.
You have no control over your grandchildren.
No.
Just get a hold of it.
Yep.
Just accept it.
That's right.
It's the way it is. I've learned this.
Amen.
When they live with you, you have less control over them than when they don't live with you. But I love my kids. I love my in-laws. I love my grandchildren. But it's so much. Yeah.
Probably haven't been feeling good for a good year or so. And I've been doing what Diane said. You know, I there were symptoms and things, and I could have given into them and whatnot, but I had my son to take care of and, you know, myself. So I, you know, I looked at what God said in the Word and the Scriptures and healing and continued in those words and things. And I believe, given what I just went through in the last 4 weeks with my gallbladder and the other thing, that in doing that, God kept me healthy where, you know, I mean, the surgeon was totally amazed when he got in to see my gallbladder, what condition it was in, and had told me, you know, people have 2 stones. And they're in the emergency room, doubled over with morphine drips and emergency surgery and all that. I had 100 100 stones. My gallbladder was like so big that it had fused itself to my stomach. The stones were like rocks in there. And, you know, I didn't have the pain. He's still amazed at how did you not have the pain that you had? And I believe that was because God was keeping me, because I was focused on what his word said until the time came where I was able to have the peace to do and correct that. And same with I had a tumor on my side, in my hip, that was 10, 11 centimeters big, which is really big and was pushing everything else, which was causing a lot of pain in my legs. But again, I did the word, believing that I was going to be healed, or, you know, God used a surgeon to heal that this time in this way. But if I had given into any of that, like I said, I believe I would have been in the hospital. It probably could have been a lot worse. My gallbladder might have busted, and then all those stones would have been there. You keep in the word, and you keep in what God says, even though the symptoms and things may be going on, you still focus in on that, and God will lead you in the way to come out of that.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, the next one is speak. First we heard, and then we decided to do something with what we heard. We decided to think about what God says to think about. We decided to meditate on what God says to meditate on. And then the next thing that happens is we start speaking. It's automatic. It's not like you have to do it on purpose. It's automatic. It's just, you know, once again, what am I hearing and what am I thinking about? So that indicates what I'm speaking, okay? Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Once again, very familiar scripture. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Couple of points I want to make. I mean, we've heard this scripture taught. If you've been around here, you've heard this scripture taught many, many, many times. Once again, the sad part is most of it was information. We did some application, but not transformation like it should be. So he said, first of all, he says, whoever says, and that's what we're talking about, whatever it speaks. But the key is here, he does not doubt in his heart. And that's what our problem has been. You know, we're saying all of that, right? You know, I'm saying all this, I'm making all these confessions, but it's just not working. Well, it's because my heart is saying one thing and my mouth is saying something else. Amen. And it always goes back to what's in my heart is what, that's what's going to win. You know, that's what rules. You know, I can confess and confess and confess and confess. But if it doesn't go to the application transformation, you know, process, then it's not going to happen. Amen. So, you know, we want to obviously go through what we're talking about this morning. So not doubting his heart believes that those things he says. So in other words, we believe in our heart that what I say, then he's going to have whatever he says. He says, Jesus didn't say you must believe God's words are true. He said you must believe that your words are true. That's what it says. So it doesn't matter what God says. You believe what your words. And your words are based on what you believe in your heart. And that's what's going to happen. When what you say, it goes farther than that. It says, when what you say isn't aligned with your actions, you don't believe what you say. In other words, you know, you can be telling someone, you know, I just believe in healing. You know, I believe that, God's word is true. And I believe Jesus paid the price for healing. And, you know, that I'm going to be healed. But if our actions are contrary to that, you know, if we go, you know, checking our symptoms, you know, checking, you know, well, I've got to make a doctor appointment for this. And, you know, and I'm saying use wisdom. But so many times, you know, we tell this, we say all these right things. And then the next thing we're doing contrary to what we just said. And what that says to me, because I believe everything I say. Same thing's true for you. You believe everything you say. You may believe what I say. You may not believe what you say, what I say. But you believe everything you say. And so if I'm saying something, but my actions are contrary to what I'm saying, then I tell myself, you know, it comes, I don't believe what I'm saying. So I can speak the word all I want. But if my actions are contrary to what my, you know, when I'm speaking, you know, when I say the Sunday morning stuff, you know, or when I'm talking to Doreen, you know, that's say all the, you know, all this, I'm believing this and this is, you know, yeah, yeah. But then, you know, it's funny how many times, you know, somebody says, pray for something. And then they go through all the history and all the things of why, you know, God's word doesn't really work. But, you know, pray for me, you know. But then we don't believe it. So why are we surprised when it doesn't happen? Because what do we tell ourselves then? Well, I knew that it probably wouldn't happen. Well, of course it didn't. Because you didn't believe it was going to happen. And so your words are just, you know, you're just lying to yourself, you know. So. Yes, we should be surprised when it actually works. That's why some people are, you know. Wow! How did that go? Why people can see a miracle and not believe it? And that happens. That's, you know, it's not seeing. How many times have you heard that? It's not seeing is not believing. Believing is believing, you know. But how many ministers have, you know, even Jesus, they tried to kill him off. The miracles were done over and over again, but they said that's not true, you know, because what I believe, that isn't, you know, that can't be. You can't be doing, you know, it's Satan. Satan's doing this in you. Yeah. It's not really God. It's really Satan. And we're going to see more of that because we're already seeing that in America. And we're going to see more of that. So you're going to need to know what you actually believe. Yes. Yes, John.
So like the movie that we saw that you believe Jesus was when he died on the cross. When the pastor took him away from his sin.
Mm-hmm. That's what he did for us. He died on the cross and he paid the price for our sin. Went to hell and paid the price so we don't have to. That's right. Okay, last one we're going to look at is do. First we hear, then we think or meditate, then we speak. And then because we've done all that, then we do. What is the statement? You can do and not believe, but you can't believe and not do. So when we do and don't believe, it's a works thing. You know, and it works for a while as long as I can do this, I can do this. But then it gets so, you know, it doesn't work out like we thought it was going to work, and then we lose it. Okay, Joshua 1:8. Very familiar. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, once again, in it, not on it, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. So what we have here, you know, now here we're tying it in with our speaking. Don't depart from your mouth. If it's not supposed to depart from your mouth, then that's what's supposed to be coming out of our mouth. You know what the word says all the time, you know, and it's not, I'm not supposed to preach to you about what I believe. I'm supposed to preach to myself because once again, I believe what I say. So, and that is part of meditation. It's part of, you know, the confession in its truest sense. How did he say it in the book? Confession in its truest sense is that I confess. What I confess is what I believe. But what we've been talking about and calling confession is more persuasion. And I need to speak. I need to speak to persuade myself. You know, when things are going contrary to what God has said, I need to speak the word at those times to persuade myself, not persuade anybody else. It's not about me telling you what you're supposed to do or, you know, you're supposed to say or trying to make myself look spiritual by saying all the right things to you. You know, to me, it's better to, you know, if you say, you know, how you doing? And I'm saying, fine. And if I'm not doing fine, you know, it's as far as you're concerned, I'm fine. Now, there's a time, understand, it's once again, it's wisdom. There's a time you need someone to pray with you and that kind of thing. But, it, you know, especially, you know, a total stranger. How you doing? Well, let me tell you. Ever have that happen to you? I've seen it in grocery stores, on elevators, you know. They tell you their life's history. I just was making polite conversation. No, you know, but anyhow. So what are we doing? That's what we need to focus on. So it's not, doesn't depart from your mouth. Meditate day and night, once again. Meditate in it, not just about it. Not just, you know, this is what the word says. I know so much of what the word says. You know, aren't I special? If there's no revelation, if there's no application, if it's not in your heart, then all it is a bunch of knowledge. You might as well read a Faulkner novel or something, you know? I just know this stuff. But if it's not about changing our lives, what's the point? It's called religion. I don't want to just go through the motions. If it's not changing my life, what is the point? Why bother? I can be miserable without having to go through all this. Yeah. So after you meditate in it, it says that you may observe to do. What is my? Why do I want to meditate on, in it? Why do I want to get it in my heart so I can do? So I can do. This is what, you know, God says that I'm supposed to be healed. Okay, I'm going to get a hold of that, you know. And I see the healing power of Jesus. I see Jesus laying his hands on me. I see Jesus coming into me, and every symptom that is contrary to him, it has to go. And I see them leaving me. I use my imagination. God gave you an imagination. You know, we, those Christian religious, you know, we have been so, if not flat out said, it has been inferred for so long, you know, don't use your imagination. You know, it's you got to watch, you know, that New Age stuff. You got to watch that. Well, God gave it to us. Amen. Why do we allow the world to steal what God has given us? So imagine it, see it, you know, experience it, what God has said, because then we're going to live it. Then it's going to start changing, you know. This, we have seen that it happened with Wayne. You know, I've told you before, you know, several years ago, you know, Wayne was in the process of dying. It was slow, but Wayne was dying, and he'll agree with that. But we just, you know, just this past couple of years, you know, has to have, especially the past year even. And since, you know, he went through the ulcer episode, and things have changing, and even though, you know, Mr. Demonstrative here, you know, even though, you know, it's not an exterior thing, but we just had, you know, he had, let's see, it was 2 years ago, when he was sick and not doing well, we went to see, he had to go to see a pulmonary doctor. And he got a negative report from the pulmonary doctor, so it was one more thing, and that's when we hit bottom, when we got that report. But we just had, so it's one of those things, you go back every 6 months. So just this past, it was October, right, that we went back? And so he went in, and the doctor examined him, and he said flat out, what are you doing here, right? He said, what are you doing here? He said, your lungs are fine. There's no reason for you to come back. That's God. That's the transformation power of God. And it wasn't, we didn't, you know, pray for hours. It wasn't anything like that. It was just going through this process. That was it. It's so simple. And yet some fantastic, phenomenal things happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry for stealing your testimony. But, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, one more scripture. James, let's go back to James chapter 1. Well, it says here, he says, when you finish that, you know, the Joshua 1:8, he says, we go through this, and then what happens is prosperity and good success. You know? That's what the results are. James chapter 1, once again, verse 21, he says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So we see here they receive with meekness. In other words, we need to be teachable. If I have the attitude that, well, you know, I've been taught this way and this is right. And I don't care what your background is, you know, but this is how I see it. So, you know, we just shut ourselves off to hearing the possibility that I could be wrong. And that's what it takes. I mean, when you know, the Holy Spirit opened this, you know, what we've been learning, when he opened it up to us, we had to make that decision. I mean, but as we got into it, now it's confirmed. It's just the next level of everything we've been teaching for the past 35 years. But we have to be teachable. And then it says, receive the implanted word. And that word implanted means implanted by nature or others' instruction. So in other words, it may come just by, you know, just by who I am. Just because my spirit is brand new and the Holy Spirit might just reveal something to me. Or by others' instruction. That's why it's important to be taught. You know, whether it's you're reading a book, whether you're listening to messages, whether you're actually in a service, whether you're in a small group, a discussion, it has to be a continual thing. We need to have this continually. And it says this is able to save our souls. That word save is sozo. So all the things that, you know, that we're talking about, saving our spirit when we were born again, this is also true now for saving our souls. And that's what our life here on this earth is about, is saving our souls. That's what discipleship is about, saving our souls. Getting the manifestation of everything Jesus did, everything Jesus paid the price for, to be manifested in my soul. And as it's manifested in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, then it's going to, you know, be, because my soul is part of my heart, then it changes the beliefs of my heart, and then it's going to work out and change my body. Okay? Let's see here. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Once again, you know, we do it, not just hear it, deceiving yourselves. And that's what we have to watch, because if we just shut ourselves off, we're going to become self-deceived. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And now this word, it talks about being a doer. We talked some about this on Thursday night too. That word doer, one of the definitions is a poetic performer. And so, in other words, and if we take this not just in our actions, but in taking this as meditation, as I said, I believe all these scriptures are intertwined. But it says here, he doesn't just read the lines of a poem, but adds emotion and imagination. Now, when I was reading this, I could think of how many of you have ever, you know, maybe you had your own kids or somebody else's kids, and you told them stories. And when you tell them stories, you really get into it. We have anybody here that's like that? Yeah. So you really get into it. So what do? You get emotions, you know, your face changes and your words change, and you know, you get excited or you get sad or you know, whatever it takes. That's what we're talking about with this. You know, as I get, you know, as I become that, as that becomes me, then things start to change. But if I just go through the motions, not going to happen. I want to read an example that is in one of the books I've been reading. He says, imagine if you were, that goes along with this, if you were severely disfigured by an accident of some kind, because of this, you were self-conscious about your appearance. It affects everything you do. In every conversation, you wonder what people think about you. If you're attracted to someone, you immediately shut out that emotion for fear of being rejected. Now suppose that one day you're able to receive reconstructive surgery. You look in the mirror and find the change so wonderful it's hard to believe. While gazing into that mirror, you feel incredible. You're having an emotional experience. Then with your new appearance, you determine to create a new social life. You buy new clothes, you get a new hairstyle, and you head out into the social world. But every time you encounter a new person, you feel all of the old feelings you had before the surgery. Why? You've forgotten that you have a new face. You should feel right about yourself, but you don't, because you keep forgetting that you look completely different now. That's what happens to us. We forget who we are. That's why we need to stay in the Word all the time. Amen. So we don't forget who we are. Amen. Verse 25 of James chapter 1, it says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We have been changed. The person who we were died. We are not who we used to be. You're 100% we're not who we were before we were born again. But I'm not who I was yesterday. Neither are you. I am new. Every day I am new. And that's what we have to get a hold of. That's what we have to remind ourselves. It says, being a disciple is not about being a hypocrite. Now, what I'm saying here, you know, everybody's, you know, we say hypocrite. Well, they're acting like, you know, who somebody that they're not. Well, who we're supposed to be is hypocrites in reverse. Because the problem is, we're all here this morning. And a lot of our lives, we're acting like who we're not. We are children of the Most High God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in every one of us. We are anointed. We are healthy, wealthy, and wise. We have the mind of Christ. We are forgiven. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing now, we are forgiven. We are holy. I don't have to perform anything. I don't have to do anything to become holy. I am holy. You are holy. I can go before the throne of God anytime. I could have just sworn, you know, just swore at my neighbor or, you know, yelled at my kids or whatever, and yet I can turn and go before the throne of God. Because I can. That's who I am. So I'm not a hypocrite when I come to church and act like, you know, get into praise and worship and stuff. You know, I'm a hypocrite when I speak contrary to what God has said about me. And when we come to church, you know, if you feel like, you know, well, what's people going to think? Who cares what they think? Focus on God and what He thinks. And God loves you. God accepts you just the way you are. And if you want to dance, if you want to sing, if you want to shout, if you want to just sit there and think about Him, whatever, we need to recognize and remind ourselves, this is who I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are disciples.